Hey, Vigran.
You're on.
Is this working? Yeah, it is. And I'm on the SIM board. I'm the vice president of the SIM board of directors. So I'm here representing sort of the other, what I would say, main organizational piece of this community, which is the board, the teaching faculty being the first and most central. So we're here really from two points of view, and here to talk to you tonight and listen more than anything else.
So what we're going to do is that we'll sort of split this time from now until 9, which is 50 minutes, in half, roughly. And the first part will be in the email we asked you to maybe reflect on your practice and what have you noticed about your practice in the past year in terms of not just your seated meditation, but all three pillars of a good life, which is dana, sila, and bhavana. The dana being the practice of giving, and we've had several opportunities to do that around here, both through this organization and perhaps in your own private way. Sila being the ethical living, which we hope this community supports for you, and then bhavana being the cultivation of our mental training, which we do with our meditation. So, do you want to say anything more about how your piece is going to fit, or?
I think that I'll develop a little bit more when my turn comes, but I think I don't want to detract from this really, I think, very central and important question that Rich is posing tonight, which is how are we individually, each of us, working to develop our practice, and how is that going for us? So I would say let's start with that, and we'll go from there.
So anyone care to reflect on how this year, roughly this year, has gone?
Hi, I'm John, and so I know it's time to speak when my hands get sweaty and my heart starts to beat. But I've been coming to SIM for about 2 years, and more regularly in the past 8 to 9 months. And I did think about what you asked us to consider, and how my practice has evolved, both from formal classes and day-longs that I've participated in, and readings that I've taken on my own. And what's inescapable for me right now is that I'm in a transition from mostly full-time employment to not employment. And I had my quote-unquote retirement celebration last night, but I really call it, and I've told Dave this, that it's my moving on celebration. And it's so interesting to me, getting back to my practice, that as I have become really much more intentional and have incorporated the teachings of right view, right intention, right action, right speech, how over this year where I've been transitioning to leaving my employment, mostly because of lots of stresses that were manifested physically and emotionally and mentally, and had in my mind a brought to the focus in my awareness that my fixed view was really the cause of my suffering. And for a long period of time, I thought it was my employment, my job, my situation, the resistance that I had from this predicament that I was in, thinking that that's where the suffering was coming from. And it wasn't only until as I've approached the end of my employment that I realized that I was the creator of that suffering. And that I, because of my clinging and my fixed view, made things worse, not just for myself, but for others around me. And for me, that has been probably the biggest learning and advancement, I guess, in my understanding of both myself, whatever that is, but in the reality of the teachings and how we really have... it's so simple, you know, the teachings are so simple, but until we become manifest in our own understanding and advanced, that it becomes much more real. And so for that, I'm very grateful. And I'm really very, I haven't had a chance to say this or opened up to say it, but I really value this community because I've felt very supported and accepted in my journey as I've started off here. And I feel very positive about that. And as my wife and I were planning on where to make our next moves, I had said, I really want to stay. I want to be grounded. And I want to find a community of people who I feel comfortable with. And I feel very grateful and thankful that I found that here. So, thank you.
Good job.
My name is Alan, and what was the question again? How my practice has been throughout the year? I have a short attention span.
Yeah, you know, often at the end of the year we sort of reflect on what's happened, and of course the lead on to that is, so what's our intention ahead? And Kathy will cover more of that piece, but really kind of looking at, I mean, are we just stuck all year long? Are we making some progress? Are we going backwards? Are there obstacles?
Gotcha.
And how are we living out our practice in terms of Dana and Sila?
Gotcha. My practices have been pretty rough this year. What year are we in? 2017. It's been pretty bad, actually. I came back to the States in two Thanksgivings ago, and I was practicing really regularly, but I was in an environment where Buddhism was like Thailand, so it's easy over there. When I got back here, I really fell. I'm also involved, I've been in groups all day because I'm going to Kaiser CDRP, so I've been like in a circle since 9 this morning, talking about my stuff and other people's stuff. I don't know how vulnerable I want to get here, but I have been, since I'm about 16 or even younger, searching spiritually. I started, I've got like two things, you know, growing, a spiritual quest and addiction. And I started both at a young age. I was actually involved, you know, searching in Buddhism was my first, I used to shakubuku on Hollywood Boulevard, if anybody knows what that is, Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism. And that was a trip. And but right along with the spiritual quest, I've had this addiction been going for years. So if I, my practice can be strong, but if I go... if I veer off, which is easy to do, my practice goes to hell in a minute. And but both, I've never given up on either road. I don't want to give up on the one, but it's a tough one, you know. But I've never given up on my recovery journey or my spiritual quest, you know. And I feel comfortable here. I'm glad, you know, that. I'm glad to be a part of. Sometimes I flake a little bit. I'm sorry, Margaret. So, anyways, so in the, you know, it's, if I stay focused on staying clean, then I have a chance to progress in my spiritual advancement. Everything goes to hell otherwise, and so that's my deal. You know, I'm just glad to be alive.
I'm Dave. A couple of things that Sim has provided me in my practice. One is the BP3, Buddhist Pathways Prison Project. Sometimes that takes all day to say, but it's a wonderful program. It's been for me, and this is my fourth year in it. I go to Folsom Prison every Monday to the women's facility, and we do, you know, I teach yoga, meditation, and we do Dharma talks, very similar to what happens here at SIM. And we see so many people come and go. The women in blue, I also go to the men's facility in Old Folsom and to the different yards in New Folsom Prison. And it's just been a remarkable way of cultivating my own practice. You know, I learned so much from them and the whole process of these groups. So I'm very grateful for that. And it has deepened my practice, because really it is community that cultivates the depth when we see the light in others. And it gets reflected. Another SIM opportunity for me has been the Manual of Insight study group, where several of us met monthly to study the Manual of Insight. And that was just a very enriching, there are several of us here, that was a very enriching program that assisted me through the year. And now my own practice starts in the morning. I've got a little temple in the woods, and that's where I am most mornings. It's just quieting into a very wonderful meditation practice up there. So that's what's been happening with me, and how SIM has contributed to it.
Well, it's right next to me, so I might as well use this microphone. So, I'm Linda, and I was thinking about, Dave was just mentioned the small study group that we participated in with a number of others, some of the folks here tonight. And it really was such a pleasure to be in the Manual of Insight group, because not only did I learn at least, sort of the basics of what Steve Armstrong, I think we're going to have a course with, we're going to have the day long, I'm really looking forward to that. I just felt like it really helped me to more effectively practice and concentrate and get into my body, even though it wasn't something new for me, but it just deepened my ability to do that. The other thing it did is it put me in touch with some members of the community on a regular basis. And for me, that's really essential. For me to be at any place and want to go on an ongoing basis, I need to feel like there's people there that I have some connection to and who I care about and have reciprocal caring. And just this past couple of weeks ago, many of you were at the holiday party that I facilitated. And it was such a great experience, because so many people, many of whom are here tonight, got involved and helped, whether it was the planning, the preparations, the setup, the cleanup, and then the people who shared their talents in the sort of performance part. So it was really gratifying, and the great thing about it was I felt like I just kind of got into more connection to the folks in this sangha who are all on a like-minded journey, and we're all wanting to live, I think, wholesome and healthy and happy lives with less suffering. So I really enjoyed feeling more connected in the sangha this year, and I'm looking forward to hopefully deepening that in the year to come.
I want to just second what Linda said about the party last Thursday. It was far and away the best party, the potluck that Sim has put on, you know. And many thanks to Linda, of course, and all the setup people. But it was a great time, and it was a great food too, by the way, you know. So I'm Jerry, and I've been with Sim for a long time, and. I think to kind of answer the question, this year, so I have established a daily practice, okay? That means I meditate every morning for a while. I don't know how successful I am in being moment by moment aware during the day. I'm becoming a little more aware of the possibility. But I think that's probably one of the things for me this past year, being here in the space, you know. So I've been connected. I was connected with the developing the space and all of that originally also. But being here in this space has really helped a lot. And just being consistent. I've always said this for a long time, but somehow being here makes it easier to be more consistent and to come. I come almost every Thursday, and I guess I'm proud of that. I have pride, you know. And I'm involved in the community doing setup stuff and helping out with things and all of that. And I like to volunteer. And I have to kind of catch myself and not jump up every time somebody says they need something too. But I think that being in this space and being able to give back a little, this is a huge step for me. And it really, it allows me to be more consistent. And so I'm really appreciative of that. And the last thing I'd like to say is, you know, we have a fabulous teaching crew here. Our teachers, our mentors, Dennis, Rich, Diane, Steve when he comes, Heather when they come. It's top notch. We're very lucky here. We're very fortunate. So this has really helped a lot because I look forward to every Thursday night. You know, so thank you. Thank you.
Want to hear from at least one shy person.
Where's the shy person?
And I would just
not here
add,
tonight, huh?
Rafael is just going to add something about for Jerry. Teaching, we're inviting some really exciting new speakers next year. And you'll get familiar with their names, but I'll just run them by you if you want to look them up on Dharma Seed or whatever. Meg Galler is one of them. She's an expert in the Terigata, the women's verses, the verses of enlightened women. We've got Noli Alexander coming in, who's in the teacher training. We've got Tony Bernhardt coming back by popular demand, not during our residential retreat. Heather Harris is going to be a couple times. John Travis is coming twice next year. Didn't even have him at all this year. And so it's really exciting what we've got lined up for you next year.
Well, I'm Raphael, and this is where San Quentin meets Sacramento Dharma Center. And you've made a believer out of me that if an ex-convict comes out and doesn't know how to transition and re-enter into a free society, then this is the way to go. These gates are open. And for me, it's been a 4th of July. You know how all of these different fireballs are going up in the air and bursting with colors. That's the way I feel. And in every sense of the word, because my palate has come alive with these wonderful morsels of delicious, sweet, sour, bitter taste that I get that I've never had before. So it's almost like, wow, is this what it's like in Nirvana or in heaven? Because that's the way I feel, that I'm in heaven. And so, on a real personal note, you have succeeded in turning me into a triple threat. To be more compassionate, more loving, more kind, more mindful, more aware, and highly sensitive to the way I feel and the way others feel. And so I get the best of all three worlds here at Sacramento Dharma Center, because the Buddha Dharma Sangha for me is found in Valley Streams, Sacramento Insight Meditation, and Sacramento Buddhist Meditation Group. I come to all three of them, and I would have it no other way. We spoke about a retirement for someone coming up, and he's going to have more time. I told him, well, try to catch up with me. Not that I'm retired, but I really hit my stroke. I found my groove here. It took me about 30 days to find that there is a place such as Sacramento Dharma Center. For me, the practice inside was with a lot of volunteers from Green Gulch. And so I got a chance to not only get my heart and mind wet with Zoto Zen, but I got a chance to experience not so much an awakening, but an enlightenment. Because the practice for me allows me not only to be in the moment, but not to be reaching for a whole lot, and not to be in a state of I got to get it, I got to get it. You know, I don't have to get it. I don't have to reach for it, because it's already right there. It's right here. And so I feel so good, so alive. You know, I almost don't want to leave here every time it's around 9 o'clock, but I have to go check back in. And so it's wonderful being here. You know, if I have to wait another 33 years being inside, coming out here, I would do it all over again, knowing what I'm coming to right here, because it's well worth it. I'm so in love with the practice that we have here, because there was a lot of dead weight. It was a burden in my life. And I didn't know how I would be able to transition. And, you know, they call it, how do you feel being a normie? Well, you know, how do you feel being a stormie? Because that's what it was. It was a storm in my life. And I had no way of changing that. And now I realize I don't have to change it. I just have to accept it. And in the acceptance, I found that there is a peace after it. And how does it feel? Well, it feels like I'm a feather floating around and smelling sweet like a flower. That's the way it feels. And so I'm really happy and a lot of gratitude. If one person could drown in gratitude, I'm drowning.
So these two questions are quite related, and our time's a little more than halfway done. So I'm going to let Kathy introduce the second question. And as I said, it's quite related to the first, and then you're welcome to speak to that.
I want to thank all of you for sharing. I really appreciate hearing from you, and it's been, you know, inspirational to listen to people's description of what the journey has been like this last year. Coming from the board, what I would like to do for the rest of the evening is open up the question of what the board might be able to do going forward to support each of you in your practice as you look ahead to what you might hope to have happen in the development of your practice in the year ahead. How can we help you? How can we provide not only the kind of practical infrastructure that's necessary for the organization to continue and for the teachings to be available, but in addition to that, how can we help to create Sangha, create community, and create an environment here where people's practices can really, truly grow and flourish? So what I'd like in the spirit of what Rich has really started for us here is for people to look inward individually and really think not only kind of theoretically, but what really personally would matter to you, would help you, and would be a support to you that we might be able to foster and support. So that's the second question.
Well, I got the mic under false pretenses, but what I was going to say before was what a rugged year it had been for my practice. I think that all the events on the national scale had me right up against everything about fixed views, about struggling for equanimity, about all of those other things. So my practice felt personally very difficult, and I have a list at home of the doubts and the ways in which it wasn't working. But what it did work is just by coming. I remember Diane had talked about her dry spell, and that it was the instruction from her teacher was just to keep practicing and keep coming. But what it did for me is that when I first was involved with Sim, and we have the three jewels, right? Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And in my head, it was sort of Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. But the fact is that the Sangha has been everything. And I know throwing myself into the volunteer work, it sounds, people talk about it as if I'm giving up a great deal, but I have to say there's been nothing like it for getting close to people, nothing like it for feeling more like a part of the Sangha, part of this building next to Bob Denny. I think I know it almost as well as Bob, but maybe not. But that, all of that enhances it, and that's what's carried me through, so I can hit those rough points and not abandon it. I can watch everybody else and see them either struggling or not struggling, but they're coming week after week and not abandoning it, and that helps me. It's the framework. But that third jewel has been incredibly important for me. So to answer Kathy's question, the other way that I got to know, I was formerly a very shy person. I was your resident shy person, but when I took the classes, and you get to talk to people in groups of 6 to 10 or whatever, and in the course of talking about the Dharma, in the course of exploring different things, and you really get to understand them, or they reveal themselves in a way to you that you can't in the break room. And so I think, and I'm not in a position this next year to take the classes, but I would support, if the teachers can pull it off, any of those classes are incredibly useful, not just for getting the Dharma, but for building that Sangha, because we get to know each other so well.
So I'm the next shy person. I liked what Margaret said about that coming here is, what I want to take away after I come here on a Thursday night is, you know, how can this practice help me in my daily life? And, you know, whether it's working with equanimity or, you know, I'm struggling with aging parents, and so I'm working with attachment and letting go and right speech and right action. And my mom hung up on me today when I was talking to her, but I called her back. things like that. And I really like, I get a lot out of the small group discussions, and I can't take the classes all the time, so I like it when on Thursday nights we sometimes get to pair off or work in small groups. So, and I know I tell Rich this all the time, but I'm telling everyone that. So I think that's...
Thank you, yeah. Marian. So I know that many of us know each other well, but not everybody. So thanks for identifying yourself too by first name, so that we can.
Which I didn't do, right?
But I'm going to ask you to do it now, because then we can continue to build community, even in the most basic way of being able to visit with each other and get to know each other a little. So, but thank you. That's very helpful.
My name is Terry. Terry Townsend, and I joined SIM, gosh, Robin, how long's it been? All I can tell you is we were younger. And it seems like it's been quite a while. But one of the things that has been so instrumental in becoming a part of this organization was volunteering. It's wonderful to come to the talks, and whether they're all days or just the Thursday night talks. But it's another thing, as human beings, to have a community. And the way that is instilled and grows is to become a part of things. So the first thing I did was I got involved with St. John's. And, when you're cooking or doing any part of that, you get to know somebody. You're sitting there and you're having a shared experience. And then there were several of us that were really interested in, we'd see people come a couple of times and not come back, so we decided to, with several other people, do the greeting group, just to make people feel more welcome. And another thing that I have found, and this just isn't me, but is just we've started some study book groups. And when you get a group of people studying the same thing and sharing from a perspective of, you know, we're not trained. We're just reading a book like anybody. But different perspectives help really broaden an appreciation for the Dharma. And out of these little book groups that would meet once a month, we would get to know each other a little bit. And then, of course, everybody gets to know each other and nobody wants to start another book group because we're all good buddies. But that's not the way things work if you're going to grow and expand an organization. So I just would like to put out there really the value of getting a little bit more involved over and above coming to the Thursday night events. And there's lots that can be done, and we're so lucky to have this beautiful building, and there's a lot to do. And do it as you can. I mean, I've met so many of you that I've seen come to Thursday nights, but, you know, we've counted money together, or we've, you know, cooked together, or we're just a lot of things that can be done. So I invite you to consider that avenue also in getting to know each other. Thank you.
I'd like to follow up on that. I'm still Dave. I don't know how that works, but still Dave. In terms of volunteering, I'm very interested in developing different ways or seeing the SIM possibly develop different ways for us to volunteer for ourselves. I know there are members of our families who are in the hospital or in hospice or going through a divorce or going through a bankruptcy or going through some major trauma. And I'm sure they would really appreciate a little bit of assistance from this group, you know, just somebody to drop by if they're in the hospital and bring some flowers or say hello. Some child who needs a little more help, or some elderly person who doesn't have a lot of people to come by. And they may or may not be Buddhists. They may or may not be direct members of the family here of SIM, but different ways that we could contribute to our respective lives. And I've took the liberty of listing some ideas for Catherine to take a look at. Also, with respect to the Buddhist prison, Buddhist Pathways Prison Project, Diane suggested some ideas for volunteering again, you know, for recent, what do we call ourselves? Our folks who are released from.
Returning.
Thank you. Returning citizens in our community who may not have or know about or feel comfortable accessing us, you know, as a group. How do we facilitate that? Can we have some allies? Diane used the term allies. Anybody who's interested in just helping get a person here, or again, going and meeting some, having coffee, having breakfast, a little bit of support, a little bit of encouragement. That's generosity. That's community. That's the juice. That's the spiritual juice that keeps a community operative, I think. So exploring different ways to cultivate that in our own community is something that I'd like to see.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jim. I'm not shy. I just don't talk a lot. I'm an extrovert. I've been a member of SIM since October 2004. I don't come to all the meetings, but I love it. And for me, Sangha, Dharma, and Buddha, in that order, are the three most important things in my life. And for me, I like to be with people, so Sangha is most important to me. That's why I really like your idea. What can the board do? I think anything you can do to promote the community is a really good idea. For example, the name tags. It's really important to know people's names, and we didn't have name tags for probably 10 years out of this existence, and finally we do, but they're very small. So to see the names, you have to actually go up and get within a foot or two of the people. So I would suggest larger name tags that are available here so that all of us can put on the name tag so that people know our names. Because the first thing that people do when they don't know somebody's name, they don't talk to each other. How many times have you wanted to talk to somebody and you didn't know their name and you wanted to ask them but you were embarrassed? So that's what I would offer. Do you see this band that I have? I've been wearing it for 8 months. I took a course in the five precepts of Buddhism that was taught by Susan Orr. She's a member of the Sacramento Buddhist Meditation Group. She's really fine. And this one, this bracelet, it's hard to read, but it says, "Do no harm." And I've been wearing it for 8 months. One of the things that I do is that I'm a volunteer for the Citizens Climate Lobby. So I lobby Congress on climate change, pricing carbon emissions in a bipartisan way. And one of my goals, since I'm from the state of Louisiana, one of my goals is to get the Republican senator, the senior senator from the state of Louisiana, to endorse this program. He is a medical doctor, and he has taken an oath to do no harm, the Hippocratic Oath. So I would like to, at some point, give a bracelet to him and remind him. I've lobbied his office twice. So the Sangha provides the glue for me to do this volunteer work. I don't have the time to do all of the activities that I would like to do, although I really love the St. John's volunteer work. I serve whenever I can because I like people, and I love the idea of giving to these children. They're wonderful. But this really helps ground me, this Sangha. And it provides the energy for me to do this, because it's really hard to go to Washington, even though there are maybe 1,000 people in June every year that go on Capitol Hill. It's very difficult to do it. So that's who I am, and I think Sangha is really important. Thank you.
Told you, formerly shy. I'm Margaret still. And I wanted to follow up on something Dave reminded me of. We do have some elderly people who've been part of the Sangha and who can no longer come because they can't drive at night. And I know that we've had struggled with carpooling programs before, but I think that's something if the board could look into. I can think of two offhand that just can't make it, except particularly in winter months. So, and there may be shut-ins who have the same problem. So I'm not sure how to implement that, and I'm not volunteering for it. But but I do think that would be an important part of Sangha.
Now you've got someone that never speaks in front of groups. And I don't think I'm shy. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I do...
Pardon?
Oh, I don't want to get in trouble. My name is Robin. Yes. And I've been a member here since I've been her age. Or whatever we are. But anyway, I just wanted to say something that the board I would like to do is to facilitate a way to start the groups and the book groups and ways that we can join together, because I agree. I think these groups that meet are an incredible way to really express our relationship with Buddhism and to bring our personal experience into play. And nothing's more important than the personal experience. It's been very valuable. So that's something that I would like for the to figure out a way that, because there's some certain people that would like to start a group and somehow a way to communicate it, and then to make it so it's offered so more people know about it, because things get started and not everybody knows about it and they say, oh, darn it, I wish I knew about it. So it would be nice to somehow have that occur. So thank you.
Raphael, I have found that everywhere I go, wherever I am, in every moment, when there is an opportunity to practice compassion, loving kindness, any of these things that I have been in touch with since coming here, I do it. I don't hesitate. The other day I was driving around 9 at night, and a young lady was in the middle of the street, in distress, didn't know where she was, getting ready to get hit by a car. I allowed her to get in my car, and she couldn't tell me where she wanted to go, but she was definitely high on some drugs, because spiders was crawling all over her body. And she wanted to jump out the car. She didn't. She wanted me to go here, go there. Finally, after 30 minutes of driving around and not knowing what to do, I talked her into going to an emergency hospital. So I ended up going to Davis Emergency Medical and walked her in there. And when they put the wristband on her and admitted her into triage, I was so happy. I said, victory. Of course, I could also have been pulled over by the local law enforcement and no telling where I would have ended up. But I wasn't thinking about that. I was really concerned with this young lady not being hurt. And so... And then not too long ago, someone that I've been trying to invite here, talking about reaching out, outreach, that's something that I would love to be involved with in some way. But I went to visit that person's father, who's in his 90s and is in the last stages of his body just shutting down. So I went over there and I led him into a welcoming meditation practice, because I found out that he used to practice back in the 70s. And he actually came alive while we was doing it. I went through every part of his body, welcome, welcome. And I massaged him, and I did what we do here. We massage each other here. We love each other. And so... the opportunity of reaching out is very special, and I think that if there's any way that we can do that, then I would also like to invite more people from the colleges to come in here, and I don't know how that's going to look, but I think that would be wonderful. And you spoke about returning citizens. I would most definitely love to bring anyone that's coming out here to get a good taste of what it feels like to be in this practice. And it really feels good. It's liberating. This is where real freedom is found for me, and I'm sure others might feel the same way.
So, great, Linda. Thanks. Then that'll be, I think, our last contribution, because we're running right up here against 9 o'clock.
Okay, yeah, I'll be brief. But in hearing people talk about ways to volunteer, I had mentioned to a couple of you coming in that one thought I had just kind of burst into my consciousness. And Robin, you said you had heard of or were familiar with the Threshold Choir. The Threshold Choir was started by a woman in the Bay Area who went to visit a friend of hers, I believe I'm getting this right, who had AIDS. And he, when she came to the hospital, he was just very agitated. And the story she told was that she began to sing to him, and he calmed right down. And she spent hours singing to him, I believe. Anyway, she went on to form choirs that have come up in many locations. And they use a certain format of music that's very simple, it's very gentle, it's very tender, it's very spiritual without being religious. And it occurred to me, and I am not the person because I do not have the musical skills for this, but it occurred to me that perhaps one of the things, if the Sangha were, if the board were to support it, there might be people in this Sangha who would like to get together and join in this kind of choir. And that what they do is they go out to people on invitation who are dying, who are sick, who are in jail, who are in some sort of major duress. And the process really gives people an opportunity to both sing and share with each other in the development of that, and also to offer it to at least our own members or family of theirs if requested. So it's just something that I just wanted to throw it out, because we do have some, I know we have some musical people because some of them performed last week and beautifully. And so perhaps that would be something. It is a way to volunteer. It is a way to develop a kind of community. And it's really a beautiful thing. I did it for about a year in Auburn. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much, Linda. Thanks very much really to everyone for their contributions, which really very much appreciate. And I hope as we enter onto this new year, we'll have opportunities again to listen to one another. I'd also want to let people know that to feel free to contact me, particularly if people have not only an idea of something that they might like to see happen, but perhaps if they'd like to become involved in making that happen. So please feel free at any time to call or send me a note. One way is that all of us on the board have a SACTO Insight email address, so it's available. It's if you go online, the addresses for everyone on the board are there. So that'd be a good way to start, and I would be delighted to get back to anyone. Rich,
likewise, if you have particular things that you'd like the teaching team to look at next year, feel free to contact any of us. I'm Rich at SACTO Insight, Diane at SACTO Insight, Dennis at SACTO Insight. So please send along any ideas that you have. So just in closing, I think we can all see that there is a great deal of wisdom and compassion in this group. And may we dedicate all of that energy and the intention within everyone to both awaken and be of service. May we dedicate all that to relieving the suffering, which, as we've heard, is so great in this world at this moment. May all beings be free of suffering.